Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast, the ultimate destination for all you freedom seekers out there who are yearning to break free from the chains of a traditional job and create an online business that allows you to live life on your terms. Get ready to unlock the secrets of online business, digital marketing, and be inspired by incredible interviews with those who are already living the dream. And now, please join us in welcoming your host, Lindsay Sutherland, a high-performance business consultant and a true advocate of the laptop lifestyle.
Hey, Freedom Seekers. Welcome back to this podcast, the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm so happy to have you here with me today. Hey, listen, we're going to break down three hacks to productivity based on personality type. So I recently gave a presentation at a local chamber event, and it was over this subject, and I had so much great feedback. It made me think I need to share this on the podcast. So that's what I'm doing today. So tune in if you're looking for, you know, productivity enhancements. And even if you consider yourself a productivity expert, I assure you, you're going to get some value out of this, because this is going to make you think differently than anything you've thought of before when it comes to productivity. Now, before I dive in, I just wanted to remind you that I do have a gift for you if you're listening in. 5 ways that you can boost profits in your business without increasing marketing spend. I've got a free download for you. Just check the link in the description and you can get access to that right away. Okay, let's plug in. So how I broke it down was basically based on personality type and the feelings that people struggle with productivity. You know, when we think of productivity, a lot of times we think of checklists, time management, time blocking, those kinds of things. And not to say that those are bad, but really what those are task management solutions, not per se productivity solutions. And the reason for that is because we can make a list of things that we need to get done and we can set up our calendar and organize it. But if we lack motivation or we feel overwhelmed or we're just drained because we lack focus, you know, those are all giant hurdles that keep us from being productive, even though our tasks are neatly organized in our planner. Yeah. So let's talk about that. The first one I wanted to talk about was focus. When it comes to focus, what I'm talking about are people who struggle with their ability to really zone in on the task at hand, mostly because it's not fun. They are the personality type that likes things to be fun and enjoyable and a riot, right? They want to have a good time. So sitting down and doing tasks that they don't classify as fun is just hard. And what ends up happening is their brain will wander, or they find themselves scrolling on their Facebook or social media. They find themselves dancing to music all of a sudden, or leaning into tasks that just feel more fun. And that one that doesn't sound fun just keeps perpetually being put on the back burner. So that is never really going to get us to be productive, especially if that task is really important to our end goal. So that's the first one when it comes to focus, is these personality types, they just enjoy things that are fun and they have a hard time being productive on tasks that they don't deem as fun. The second personality type is a very emotional person. This person really struggles with getting motivated. They can hype themselves up, you know, go to bed, get a lot of rest and think, okay, tomorrow I'm going to tackle that project. And then they wake up and it just feels so daunting, overwhelming. Like one little thing can derail their entire momentum and they cannot even start. This is the biggest problem for them. They cannot start. And the biggest word I hear is pressure. It feels like so much pressure. Either the project feels overwhelming or the task, or it's the fact that they have that and so many other things and they're just so feeling beat down before they can even get started. This type of person is a very, like I said, very emotional person. So for them, this feeling it leads to guilt. Like it starts out with feeling frustration or pressure, but then the more they procrastinate, the more that pressure builds until it turns into a guilt because they didn't take action. And then that guilt just perpetuates this whole problem. You see the cycle, it just keeps going. So that's the second personality type and the hurdle to coming to being productive. So the third is anxiety and overwhelm. These people typically are task masters. They're very task oriented. However, they have a tendency to way overestimate how much they can get done in a day. And ultimately, this leaves them feeling exasperated, overwhelmed, angry because they didn't get everything done. At the end of the day, even though they might have checked off a whole lot of check boxes, they're still focused on the things that didn't get done, and they're piling that now into their next day, which was also pre-filled with a lot of tasks. So you see where this goes. These people do struggle with anxiety, anxiety attacks, or just feeling short-tempered because they're constantly feeling the heightened pressure of getting a lot done in a very short time. Another characteristic trait these people have is they tend to take on responsibility for other people's tasks. So like, for example, you're a mom or you're a dad and you're at home, maybe you've delegated some things to your children to get done and you're busy working, and then you get done with your day and see that, okay, they did not get those things done. Rather than holding them accountable, oftentimes these people will just step up to the plate and add this to their tasks because they're doers. They figure it's easier for me to just get it done than to wait for somebody else. And this happens in the office too, if you're in a management setting. So those are the three main barriers, I guess you could say, to being productive. So let's talk about what you can do with your personality and how you can overcome this hurdle. So for those of you who struggle with focus because you like things to be fun, then I challenge you to just embrace doing things that are fun. You know, asking you to do things that are not fun is like asking a zebra to wear spots. Really, it's so out of character for who you are. It's extremely hard. I mean, almost impossible. Not impossible, but you know, like emotionally, almost impossible. You can do it if you really just sit down and do it, but think about how much time and energy it's going to cost you just getting to that point. It is much smarter for you to either surround yourself with the taskmasters who pride themselves on getting things done and checking those boxes, and they don't care how boring the tasks are. They just love to, for them, what's fun is knocking things off the list. Okay. The other thing you can do is to delegate. Just find as someone who the zone of genius is their specialty for whatever that task is, and outsource as much as you can. I'll tell you what, if you can do that, and this is really good advice for anybody for that matter, but if you can do that, you're going to see that you will 10x your productivity. You will get so much closer to your goal, your big goal, because you will stop wasting time spinning in circles, just trying to get yourself ramped up to get something done that doesn't bring you joy. And most likely that is going to end up not being a quality job. Like, you could have done it better, or somebody else could have done it better, in all truth, mainly just because you don't like it. So you're blowing through it to hurry up and get it done. So for you, my friends, just embrace who you are and find somebody to help you knock that task off your list. Okay, the next one, for those of you who are my emotional friends who just feel that deep sense of pressure, for example, let's say it's close to tax time, right? So let's say you know you have to get your taxes done. And the idea of sitting down and tackling that beast is just feeling insurmountable. You can think of all the things that need to be done, and almost sometimes that's the problem. Either you don't know all the things and it feels ambiguous but overwhelming, or you do know all the things and you just can't imagine getting it done. A lot of times what happens with these folks is they also put a lot of pressure on them with time. Like, they'll say, I need to block off a whole day to do this. Well, that's unrealistic. Maybe they don't have a whole day they can block off. They could block off 2 hours at a time, but in their mind, if they start, they have to finish. And so that's part of why they really don't want to get started, and they struggle with the pressure because it feels like a lot, and they put a lot of pressure on themselves to get a lot done in at one time. So for you, friends, I am going to give you some advice. It's called the magical 10 minutes. And you're going to really pare down this effort from feeling like you have to get it all done in one day to getting it done in, you're just focusing on 10 minutes. I know this sounds like crazy. You're like, Lindsay, how is this even real? Listen, because you are an emotional being, the first 5 minutes, I want you to set the mood. Whatever works for you, play some peaceful music or your favorite songs, put on a candle, you know, maybe your favorite lotion, get comfy, get cozy, set the mood to jazz it up. Because if you walk into this, getting this task done with this pressure and intensity feeling, it already sets the tone for a bad experience. Whereas if you take this 5 minutes to just get in the mood, that alone is going to make a big difference. The next thing for the next 5 minutes is you're just going to start the task. You're going to tell yourself, I'm only going to work on this for 5 minutes. But here's where the magic piece comes in, because after you get started, your brain would love to see things come to completion. Have you ever wondered why? Have you ever like caught yourself watching like a TikTok or something where somebody's doing her makeup and telling a story and you find yourself watching it to the end wondering, why did I do that? That was so silly. Like, I didn't care about her makeup or that story really, but it seemed sort of interesting and it kept me going. But it's because our brains like to see things come to an end. So when we get started and something hooks our interest, well, our brain wants to see it finished. And so even if you get started for 5 minutes, you've got that momentum, it's going to kick in. You can keep plugging away. Now, listen, the other important thing is if you get to like 90 minutes and your brain is fried and you don't want to keep working on it again, then quit. Give yourself permission to quit before the task is completely finished. Maybe button it up by making a little jot a list of things that you need to get done so that you can work at another time. You're going to do another, you know, magical 10-minute moment. But either way, give yourself permission to let it go. This will help you get things moving and you will make more strides than if you just let yourself wallow in that and like guilt and the sadness of just trying to get started. Just pivot your mindset. You're going to focus on 10 minutes. Okay. Now, for those of you who are my task masters, you love to get things done, but you overdo it. Here's the trick. For you, the task management softwares and programs and systems and strategies, those generally work the best for you because you really do need some help managing your tasks. I recommend a book called The Compound Effect. Darren Hardy does a great job of explaining his system for productivity, which essentially talks about doing a brain dump. So you just kind of brain dump everything you have in your brain that needs to get done. And then I want you to go back and organize it. So what are the high priorities? Highlight them. And of course, you might feel like there's so many here that are high priority that you still can't get them all done. If that's the case, and for those of you who are like project managers or you're in a service-based business, maybe you're a social media manager or a marketing manager, something like that, and you just have a lot of deadlines that are legitimate deadlines. Like you have customers expecting things done at a certain time. Okay. I'm going to give you a couple of tips. First of all, I want you to step one, make the brain dump. Step two, highlight the list based on what is real. You know, sometimes the problem is that we've set ourselves up for the expectation that the timeline is shorter than it needs to be. Like I've actually done this myself where I'm expecting myself to get, you know, X, Y, Z, A, B, and C all done at a certain time. And halfway through the day, I realized like, that's just not going to happen. But you know, when I reach out to my clients and talk to them, they were not expecting it done at that time. That was like, oh, cool. I wasn't really expecting it, but yay, if you get it done tomorrow, that's fine too. You know? So just ask yourself, like, what is this legitimate thing? Is how many of these people are really expecting this on this day? How many people are open to having this done on a different day? Can I reset the timeline? You know, don't be afraid to reach out to clients and admit like, hey, I've had more on my plate than I can handle. And I apologize. I know I thought I would get this done on Monday, but it looks like it's going to be blank. You know, fill in the time with what you want to do and reset that timeline. You're going to have some that you can do that. Then what do you have on your list that you can delegate or outsource so that it's not all on your shoulders? Listen, I totally understand. There's so many times where I think to myself, well, who could do help me? And then I start thinking of people I know. And very often, and this is a skill that you practice, very often I found myself saying, well, it's just easier if I get it done. It would take me more time to train it than to just get it done. Then find better people. That's number one. Like, if you can find people who really know how to do it, and I'm going to give you an example, like real life example. For the longest time, I did not hire virtual assistants in my business because of this exact reason. I felt like the ones I had worked with in the past, they all wanted very clear step-by-step instructions on how to do everything. And I felt frustrated because by the time I got done explaining the job, I may as well have just done the job. And then they would go and do whatever it was I asked, mostly wrong. So I would have to then explain it again and have them redo it. Now I'm waiting for that again. So for the longest time, I told myself, I'm not going to hire a VA. This is just annoying. They don't do what I need to do. Well, I found out I wasn't hiring the right virtual assistant. I eventually found some people who, two things. One, they were go-getters. If they didn't know how to do something, they went and figured out how to do it, number one. I was like, wow, that's amazing. And number two, I also started finding people. And when I did, I would say, what is your zone of genius? Because a lot of virtual assistants will say or claim that they can do anything and everything. But just because they say they can doesn't mean they should. Like, they haven't had the experience with it, or it's not their zone of genius. They don't love it. So those are the people who will consistently need help and having to do the job more than once. So find people who are good. Like, if you want a graphic designer, find a graphic designer. Graphic designers are not always good at social media because they are not always good at the copy. They're just good at making graphics. A social media person will be good at both. So really, you know, be more picky about who you find to be on your team. Okay. All right. Now, here's another tip that I want to give you. And this is coming back to just that feeling of overwhelm and anxiety. And this is a true story. I was sitting at my desk one day and I told you I'm a taskmaster. Like, this is, I'm very task oriented. So what I'm describing, I can relate with this third one personally. I was sitting at my desk and I was looking at my list of stuff and it was just feeling like the entire week, it was like Tuesday, and I feel like the entire week had already gone by and I already couldn't get all this done because it was like more than I could do. And my throat started to close. My breathing was getting heavy. I mean, a full-on anxiety panic attack was about to happen. And then by the grace of God, because I really don't know what else kicked in, I just had this like peace come over me. Like, it just took over me. And I sat there at my desk going, this is a habit. This overwhelm behavior is a habit. This is something I learned somewhere in my life as a coping mechanism when things get to a tipping point and I'm overstimulated. And I know enough about the brain to know that when we have a pattern of thinking, our neuronets fire together, the path of least resistance. And what happens is we create a neuronet. So just like electricity follows the path of least resistance, when our brain has a habitual train of thought, that's literally where it came. It's like neuron train. Then we just default to that. And that's what I caught it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is a habit. This is a choice. I could choose to not feel overwhelmed. I can choose to not feel anxiety. I can choose to just address these tasks to the best of my ability. And actually, it's that moment when that four-step process was born that I just explained, where you first look at do your brain dump, highlight the priorities, ask yourself what's real and what's not real. Those kind of go together. Reschedule what you can and then delegate what you can. What was magical is that by doing that, I maybe only moved maybe three things. Oh, and one more bonus question for you guys. If you're in that moment, listen, my friend gave me this advice, and I got to say it was perfect. She goes, well, Lindsay, I know you well enough to know that you probably have some things on your schedule you're doing for free for people. Can you move them to another day? And I'm like, yes, I can. So yeah, you know, where are you doing something that's there to help somebody else out that you need to just say no, and maybe say no indefinitely, or maybe just say no, not right now. But by all means, take control of your schedule. You don't have to feel that overwhelm and anxiety. It is a choice. And you can approach it more of a pragmatic approach and just look at it like a problem solving. Okay, what do I need to do to get these tasks done? Okay, oh my gosh, that was a little bit longer of an episode than I normally do, but I wanted to cover all three of these in one, just in case you resonated. And I'm grateful for you tuning in. I hope that was helpful. If it was, please leave me a note in the comments in the review section. That would just make my heart so happy. I appreciate you guys as always. Until next time, bye for now. Until next time, stay motivated, stay focused, and remember that the power to create the life that you want is already within you. I'm Lindsay Sutherland, and I'll catch you on the next episode of the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode of the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast, make sure to subscribe, leave us a review, and share the podcast with your fellow freedom seekers. Together, we'll inspire and empower countless individuals to live life on their own terms.